Do you like aliens, UFOs, cryptids, and the supernatural?
What about self-defecating humor?
Actually, it's self-deprecating humor.
Well, you may both be right. Alien Theorist Theorizing is a comedy podcast that examines cases like
Roswell, Bigfoot, or the Atacama Alien.
If any of these topics pique your interest,
subscribe to Alien Theorist Theorizing free anywhere you find podcasts or go to alientheorists.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Did you know you can save money with the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, I was surprised too. Deals every day right at your fingertips. I love a good deal, but the McDonald's app takes gaming the system to a whole new level. Just the other day, I treated myself to a 10-piece chicken nugget for only a dollar. Yeah, you heard that right. Just $1. All you have to do is order in the app. And get this. You can grab that deal once a week through December 2nd. The first time I discovered the deals in the app, I was honestly shook. I had to tell my whole group chat about it, and now we're always comparing who got the best app deal of the week. Plus, ordering ahead, total game changer, especially when I need a quick lunch or a treat after a long day. So why wait? Save money every day with the McDonald's app. Download it, get those deals, and treat yourself. You deserve it. Valid through December 2nd, 2024 at participating McDonald's. Offer valid one time per week. Excludes delivery. You must opt into rewards. So go check out McDonald's deals.
Slut. I have over 11,000.
No, have anything like
I only know that number because my phone is like, you have quite a few pictures and you're hidden. You might want to go through those.
I just moved all of my pictures off of my phone onto, what is it that I have? Google Photos.
I'll save one I like. I'll save ones I hope to get someday. But I always save pictures of men I've been with. Of at least their members.
What's funny is I have already forgotten what the buttons do.
I do too.
From a week ago.
I know the deep voice.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, but I don't remember which button it is.
I remember trying them. There for a while we were doing a different one every time we recorded, but I don't remember what they are.
She's supposed to write them down on that little...
She was, wasn't she?
I did. Like I had them written down on that. And then when we moved,
it looks brand new.
It does. Never used it. I think I got it for her as a gift.
Yeah.
My heart is
ungrateful.
It's not like I can really do a whole lot with it right now. I have no place to put it to be able to write on it because I'm not sitting in front of a table like I was.
All I'm hearing is excuses and excuses and excuses.
And besides that,
a nice little lap.
I was going to say, I don't have a lap to be able to sit it on. It would just fall right off. I have no lap.
So, Josh, Kim and I have to tell you about our little party in the cemetery we went to yesterday.
Yes. Ooh. It was so much fun.
So I had one of our listeners who's a good friend of mine. Her name is Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Michelle wanted me to work out with her this morning, and I mentioned to her that Kim and Josh are coming to record this morning, and she's like, on a Sunday? On the Lord's Day?
I know.
She didn't say that, but as soon as she said on a Sunday, that's all I could think of was our family.
Someone's never worked retail.
That's the only... Well, sometimes it's the only day that I can do it, because, you know, working through the week now.
Right.
I only have Saturday and Sunday, and sometimes I have something going on Saturdays, and sometimes I have something going on Sundays, so it just depends on
you
when we can
that,
all get
listeners?
Together.
Mystery Inc. is more important to Kim than the Lord.
Okay, so anyway, let me finish my story, Kim.
I'll
if you would shut your face for 5 minutes.
Me?
Anyway, Josh, let me tell you, I'm talking to Michelle. I mentioned that to her. She said a Sunday thing, and then I responded, yeah, Kim and I had this party thing at the cemetery yesterday, and then as I sent it, I thought, you know, Out of context, that sounds a little weird.
Well, we grew up right next to, like, to us, it's like a backyard, park.
And Kim and I go to them all the time. Like, not parties, but we go to cemeteries and look around. But anyway, so we did go to this little Halloween dress-up party. Kim went as a B-I-T-C-H.
I did not.
It was so nice.
Did not.
It's our everyday costume. Right? Thanks for the invite, by the way, you bastards.
Kim, you didn't give him an invite? No. Oh my gosh, she's so mean. Anyway, Josh, before Kim starts buttoning
I've already checked out of the story because I wasn't involved.
So Kim and
Who are you?
Right. So Kim and I were going to meet up with her sister and brother-in-law, who we love. Mm-hmm. And so they were having this little thing because of Kim's sisters-in-law's, Kim's sister's mom is buried there. It's in Winchester at the big graveyard.
She's my half-sister.
Yeah.
Had the whole day free, too.
See, Kim, you're so mean. Anyway, so we get there, and Kim's sister isn't there yet, but, like, some of her family is. And so we're just going to wait in the car until either, one, Kim's sister comes, or, two, they notice us. And then I realized we sat there for probably an hour, it felt like.
Oh, no. It was, we got there at.
By the dog statue.
3:30, and it was supposed to start at 4. So we sat there for at least 40 minutes.
Probably.
Because I think Linda and Rodney might have been just a couple minutes late. And then we just kind of watched them waiting for them to notice.
No one came up to us.
Behind us.
Nothing. Boogada, boogada. And we were parked behind all their cars, like right next to the area. Kim and I were just watching them.
We're just sitting there watching. They had perfect, very visual eye view of seeing us. You know, we're just sitting right there and they're not paying any attention to us.
Nothing.
They're just going on and on and on. And I'm like, I don't think they're ever going to notice us over here.
Now, at one point in time when we get out, one of the people at the party was like, yeah, I noticed someone sitting over there.
It was Loretta.
I didn't think anything. And I thought, there's a big difference between me as a true crime listener and podcaster. The moment a car pulls up and stops, if they don't get out of the car, I'm going over there. What are you doing? Get your hands out your pants.
Are
get
you
on the
okay?
car. Yeah.
How much per hour?
Like, we were there for at least 30 minutes and no one says anything to us. And I was like, there are all these kids around here. What are you doing?
That was the first time that Shane's really been around the extended part of the family, So I was I was kind of going, that's Linda's other sister, and that's so and so, and that's an aunt, and that's so and so. And so we were just sitting there watching everybody, and we were just cracking up because people kept, kept looking like they were looking at us, but then they would never say anything. They'd just keep going on. And we were just cracking up.
No, I did feel a little out of place because out of everyone there, did you notice short everyone was?
And you're talking about my family. Well, Linda's family.
It was so.
We're still all short.
Like, normally.
Everyone is to him.
Yeah, but normally I don't catch it. But then everyone kept coming up and giving me a hug.
And you got to
hug.
Hello.
Yeah.
Touching the top of their head. Nice to see you.
That's exactly how it was. Everyone was hugging me, and I'm like, hi. I feel like
I would have picked one up.
What's your little name?
I could just see Loretta. You doing that to Loretta, she would have just had a cow.
Now, Kim's sister and her other sister, Loretta, they dressed up as witches. One of them was, I can't remember her name right now. It's the Wicked Witch. The one from Wicked, the green one.
Elphaba.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other one was the Good Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Gwendolyn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Yeah.
Gwenda.
How we go with names. Yeah, Glenda. That's it.
Loretta was Glenda.
They looked so good. I mean, Linda even put on green makeup. She had green gloves. She had the Wicked Witch.
Striped. Socks.
Yeah, it was so cute. I mean, she looked so good. And then Kim was dressed up as herself, the third witch. And they got all these pictures.
Witch.
I know, but they were nice and they gave her a little witch hat.
She comes with her own warts and all.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. I told Linda last night because we were kind of, chit-chatting last night through our text messages and stuff. And I told Linda, I said, next year we're going as the Sanderson sisters.
Oh, yeah.
We will be going as the Sanderson sisters.
Mary, I could do your wig for Mary.
There you go.
Winnie.
That's the one that I was thinking I would be because Sarah is totally Loretta.
And you did wear that Loretta. Shirt.
Yeah, I did have the Sanderson sister shirt. Yeah.
I'm Sarah.
I want to take bets right now on if a year from now, if Kim is going to even remember this conversation.
I will not.
Nothing.
Well, I can guarantee
one of our listeners save this because you're more, you know, organized than we
are. And then at this time next year, we're going to go to the same thing. And Kim's going to say, you know what we're going to do next year? I have this great idea. It's
we're
so original.
Remind us in August.
Year.
Give her time. To there put you it go. Together. Yeah. You know, mom bought me a Sanderson sister, hocus pocus, whatever. Little garden flag. I have one right on my porch. And I just can't put it up. It has all three sisters around a cauldron, and then right below it says, I smell children. I'm like, Mom.
Yeah.
I know it's not wrong, but it just feels wrong for a single gay man who doesn't like kids or want trick-or-treaters coming to my house to have, I smell children. I'm like, I can't do it.
Yep.
That's how I'm trying to keep the villagers with the pitchforks away.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. But we had a jolly old time. And then afterwards,
it was a lot of fun.
We went to this Mexican restaurant, Kim's favorite.
Oh, in Winchester.
Yes. Kim was just wanting it and had to have it.
I hadn't had it in a long time.
We get there.
We know, Kim. We know. I can hear the bats from here.
Oh, speaking of, before we get to the Mexican story. So someone at the party was talking about how they had this recent procedure and they couldn't have sex for a little while. And I made a little joke about it, you know, and she goes, well, I mean, it's been a week. And without missing a beat, and Kim doesn't normally have these awesome moments of like, oh, this is brilliant. She goes, she throws her hands up and goes, oh, a week.
Oh my God.
And she's like walking away, just yelling at us.
How can you manage? Josh, I got the mic again.
I was the messed up mic. It was so funny. Like, it's when your abs start hurting. You know, God. You're just like trying to like come over.
You didn't have any problems last week with that mic. I wonder if it's that cord.
Yeah, we'll change the cord out. And by we, I mean, I'll probably have to.
I thought they were like in the arm.
No, I think you can take it out. We'll find out. If not, we'll just wrap one around and we'll be a little trashy. We have a barn dollar here.
To get to.
Yeah. So anyway, so we go to this Mexican restaurant. Kim, we're already on a different subject.
I'm sorry. Hey,
She sees it's a black shaft and she's just like, woo-hoo.
Hang on a minute. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
Kim had Starbucks this morning.
No kidding.
So sorry.
She sucked it down. That's a, the oh God, that's like venti tall.
Oh, you the big venti. Don't say large, a Starbucks.
Not the Trenta.
We won't talk about you, Kim, while you're gone.
If it don't come in Trenta, I don't want it.
I know. Like,
Hold on, 32 ounces.
This is America. You would think that they would have these larger sizes.
Well, especially iced coffee. I get one in the morning and I have that. Like, I'll be sucking the little bit of, you know, melted ice.
Right.
It's like very light.
Yeah. And that's the same way with me when I get coffee from a place, especially if it's iced. I'm drinking it all day. Yeah. Like, over the day.
This is like my joiner beverage. Yeah. And then throughout the day, I'll have my teas and my waters.
Right.
I'll have like two or three drinks at the same time.
You better get the water in because if you get a Trenta or even a venti, like, I don't know if you've ever looked at the sugar content in those things. Josh is like, no, why would I?
Why do I need to know that?
But yeah, so if you ever get curious, like, if they did make those coffees in Trentas, I mean, that's a lot of sugar you'd be pulling in.
Yeah, I saw in Coke there's so much sugar that they have to add in a chemical additive to stop us from throwing up every time we drink one. Isn't that crazy?
I believe it, though, because I don't drink regular soda, and I haven't for years. But anytime if I get, like, a diet drink at a place, if they accidentally give me the real Coke, I'm telling you, it's like I just snorted Coke. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, and like they hit you, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what is going on? Which is crazy, though, because you just get so used to the sugar and the hit of it. And then when you don't have it, you're just like, oh my God, how could I have ever gotten used to this?
That's one thing that makes me feel like when we were kids, every once in a while, I'll drink a can of ice cold Coca-Cola full-leaded. I have them in the fridge, but
full-leaded.
Like I had one last night, but it took me hours to drink a can of Coke. I just a couple little sips here and there, and I'm like, oh, I need some water to wash this down.
You remember what our grandma used to say? a Coke every once in a while, or a Coke a day or something like that is good for you because it washes the toxins away. Yeah.
And Dr. Pepper's medicine.
Yeah. Yeah, those little wives' tales that end up being like, when you get older and you get a little bit more knowledge, you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't believe that.
Well, that used to be a thing, Dr. Pepper's medicine. Even her,
oh, yeah, I knew that.
Her boyfriend would drink it warm. And, you know, I love looking up vintage recipes, especially oh, yeah. back in the day when everything was put in Jell-O mold.
Right.
Ugh, aspic. Meat Jell-O, disgusting. Ugh. But they would have, like, it would be a Christmas holiday beverage that you one would serve at a party is, you know, get a punch bowl with some hot, warm Dr. Pepper, and you put a little slice of lemon or orange in your
I am cup. Curious what it would taste like, but I probably would just do a sip.
I've had hot Dr. You know, where you're like, I just need something wet, and all I have is unrefrigerated Dr. Pepper.
Well, you know, it also makes sense, though, that our grandma and probably older generations would think that every once in a while or once a day, a soda is good for you because back in their time, they would go to the drugstore.
Yeah.
Where you would get the medicine.
It was a nice treat.
Yeah.
Like going to get ice cream.
And there's nothing bad for you at a drugstore.
Really? No.
No, that's where you go. And then by that time, they enjoyed being there. So, I mean, we don't have that anymore.
They'd have a malt and candy. Yeah.
Have you ever seen those old pictures or old postcards of those drugstores?
Oh, yeah.
I wish that they would come back around. Like have like different flavors of soda and stuff like that.
Not with this opioid crisis. Right. We're having people sitting there asleep on the wake ass.
Yeah, they only have acetaminophen.
Right. That was before the, that was when there was Coke in the Coke.
Right.
So they literally had kids go into the pharmacy to get coked up at 12 on a Saturday.
Right. Which is funny because I feel like we don't hear about them ever having problems with drugs and
because everyone had a problem. Right. If everyone has the problem, there's no problem.
That's true. I feel like, Josh, that this is like when we first started Mystery Inc. and it was just you and I.
Yeah. Memories.
Look, Kim says she had to go pee. She's been gone for 5 minutes.
I know it. They're going to know. Uh-huh. You better use that poopery.
Yeah, Kim, don't you stink up that bathroom. Good Lord.
We all got to share it.
So have you had a good week, Josh, since Kim was so rude to not invite you?
I have. Besides that, just utterly crushing, just as if I didn't exist.
I know. She is so thoughtless.
I know. Inconsiderate.
She's so mean. I mean, I can't
stand her. Why people think she's a lesbian.
I know.
Rude.
She does cut her hair real short. I can see how they would get confused.
Yeah, I love to look up old recipes and stuff, and I've been especially around Christmas time. And have you ever seen the banana salad?
No.
Ones?
Banana salad.
It's specifically a Christmas recipe, and you take like, I forget what they put it in, like a half of a tomato. You cut a tomato in half and you like toothpick half of a banana cut in the middle, not lengthwise, in it, and then you dollop on a little bit of mayonnaise.
This sounds like a human
centipede.
On the top,
and then you put like a cherry on top, and it's supposed to be like a Christmas candle, but it doesn't look like a Christmas candle.
So you don't eat it?
No, you do. Like, this is something they would have at like a middle class holiday party and for like, you know, a neighborhood or, oh, I'm inviting my husband's work boss over.
See, Josh, I feel like this is a perfect example of why we grew up sort of white trash, because that doesn't sound appealing to me whatsoever.
No.
But if I were to go to someone's house and they give me a little Debbie, a little Christmas tree, I would just be in heaven. I'd be like, oh my gosh, you are so thoughtful.
Have you had the little Debbie Christmas tree cheese ball?
No. Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, last year.
You eat it with like vanilla wafers?
Yeah. But I'm telling you, it's dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Stay away. And if you're listening, do not try it, because once you pop, you can't stop.
No.
I mean, it is dangerous. And
it tastes just like the little Debbie Christmas trees, but it's a whole 13x9 casserole dish.
And that's the thing. When I had it, I was at a Christmas party last year, and I thought, oh, it's like a cheese dip. I didn't know what it was. And I took one of those wafers, and I was like, oh my gosh.
That's my only complaint with those trees is there's never enough.
No.
They got the big ones
You'll
now.
Eat the whole, they have bigger ones.
Yeah. I bought it because I thought it was like a king size box, like the other little Debbies where there's twice as many.
Right.
And then I opened it and I was like, There's only, it says there's only 8 in this huge box. And they're like 2 of them put together. Like it's the size of my hand. I'd rather have 2 smaller ones than one big, because it's like more frosting in the middle. Like,
oh, yeah.
It messes with the, it's not the same.
Consistency. Yeah. I get that because I'm that way with Oreos. I don't the thick crust ones. I just like the normal Oreo because it's the perfect layers.
And I don't try many of the new flavors either. Every once in a while, the carrot cake came out. I think that was the last one. I was like, I'll try this. And the Lady Gaga ones, of course, I had to order those.
Did you like those?
I mean, they taste like trash, but they had Lady Gaga on them.
So I ate them.
So I got 2 little packs and I put one in my lunch.
Oh my gosh.
What are you talking about?
Oreos.
Don't worry about it, kid. Oreos. You shouldn't have gone to the bathroom to go.
I couldn't help
Hope you washed under them nails. You got to scrub the palm. Worry.
So anyway, Josh, before Kim went to go party, I was telling you about our little trip to the Mexican place.
Oh, yeah.
So we go in and Kim went to the bathroom. Surprise, surprise.
He had to pee really bad.
And while I was waiting, I ordered a Diet Pepsi. The waitress comes out with 2 big cups for me.
Oh, Jesus.
And she goes, here, I bought you an extra one, too. And in that moment, I thought, either one, she's scared of me, you know, because I'm a man giant. Or 2, she's hitting on me and thinks that I'm real thirsty.
She's probably about ready to take a break and didn't want to have to come check up on refills.
It could be.
That could have been.
Well, then Kim comes. So, Josh, if that is the hypothesis or the theory here, Kim gets there and the waitress asks her what she wants to drink. Kim gets another diet. She just gets one.
With spit in it.
Probably. Now she's confused because this waitress was just so attracted to me.
Well, she's probably she just saw used my abs. To.
Men, yeah,
I've noticed in restaurants, men do generally choke down our beverages versus like a woman will sit there and sip on it.
Oh.
But, and I'm the same way when, especially I usually get sweet tea when I go somewhere. I have my first cup sucked down before they even come to take my order.
Yeah.
Like I'll drink 3 or 4 cups of sweet tea.
And sweet tea is dangerous.
Well, they're $2.99 for a drink at a sit-down restaurant usually anymore. So I'm like, I'm getting my money's worth.
Now, anytime I sip on a sweet tea, I always think of you, Josh. Because do you remember many years ago? No, that ain't it. Many years ago, when we were all different people, Josh used to bank, I think it was at Chase, and one time he, you know, Chase at the time at least, they didn't fully update your account balance as you use your debit card or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh, evidently, you were on your lunch break, and this is what my memory is. I should just let you tell it, but I like telling it.
Oh, the stories. Vending machine.
I don't remember if it was that or if you went to McDonald's and got one of the sweet teas, and then it overdrafted your account.
Oh, that was the vending machine at the mall.
Oh, okay.
Because I worked at Rue.
I got you. And then I always remember that because didn't they charge you like $60?
No, it was anytime you overdrafted, even 50 cents with Chase at the time, it might have changed, you would get charged a $90 overdraft fee.
Jesus.
And then if you didn't pay it within like 3 days, then every day you got like another
fee.
$90 fee.
That's why that's exactly why I don't overdraft my account anymore. I haven't for years, but that's exactly why I don't bank with Chase anymore.
Well, this was before apps.
Yeah.
They had like the stupid little, you know, the beginner apps. Look, it's my phone's like lighter.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like you had to use your limited mobile data to, you know, go on Chase.com to check your balance. Right. And so I didn't know. And it was, I think that was the beginning of the week and I didn't get paid until Friday. And by Friday, because of like, it was less than $2, like maybe $1.25 or something, you know,
for the drink
beverage. Yeah. But by Friday, my account had been charged over almost $400, like $390 is popping up in my head and it's like scarred.
That's what I remember too.
And I was working part-time at a mall for, you know, minimum wage.
And back then, minimum wage was little.
Right.
$300 or $400 every week. So it took, like, my paycheck got direct deposited and my account with my check was still like negative $175.
And they're probably still charging you.
Well, yeah. And then after that, they were charging me like $30 a day. Mm. And I had to call them and I'm like, can y'all just stop? Like,
I'm not using
I don't get
it.
Paid again till Friday. Like, right. I have a car payment. I have to have gas to go because right. I was living 45 minutes from my high school. So right. I had to drive to school every day. I'm like, I gave him a sob story. I'm like, I'm living with my grandma.
Right.
It's just her and me and the arms under of an angel. Under a bridge.
Because of Social Security check.
She was like, well, we can't, you know, take away the late fee, but we can stop charging you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, you. After that, I was like,
no,
done.
I wouldn't. No.
I'm done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bye, Chase.
Well, mess with Chase.
Because that was my first bank account, and I was used to we would all every week go up to grandma with her at her bank
right.
and how friendly and how willing they right. were. Like, any problem she had, they're like, we will get this fixed.
Right.
Like, you will not leave this little office that we would always go in because she'd always have problems.
Right.
Was it Chase Bank?
No.
No.
It's PNC now, yeah. Okay. First National or yeah. something. Mm-hmm.
It changed.
A bank that's no longer around. Yeah. So, you know, I guess we were spoiled thinking that, oh, banks care about their
right.
customers mm-hmm. and, you know, they only want what's best for us.
And Josh yeah. probably thought, when I call them, they'll understand. It's just a misunderstanding.
Right.
Well, sir, we'll stop charging you going forward, but we still want your next three or four paychecks.
They talk to you like
paychecks.
You are just the white trashiest.
Right.
Like, I'm like, I'm 18.
And what's crazy is it would have taken probably three paychecks mm-hmm. to pay that off for one fee.
For $1.25.
Yeah.
$1.25.
Now, if someone from Chase is listening, you can mail Josh that check today to refund him.
I used my debit card in another soda vending machine. Yeah. I can't bring myself to do it. I'm like, nope.
Well, to be
I don't like to do it. If I'm dire, I will, but I don't like to do it.
Well, on them, at least that one, you had to like cancel out when you were done.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, you could use your card to get three or four beverages at once.
Or walk and away and someone cancel. Else will.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Not a good idea.
I didn't even know that vending machines done that.
I don't think that it's very common now, at least. But back when they first started being able to swipe cards, that's the deal. I mean, they wanted you to buy more than one thing, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the only time I really ever use vending machines anyway is if we're on a trip and there's a vending machine in the hotel.
Well, ever since that happened to Josh, I just started using my credit card to pay for everything. Because what I've learned over time, if Chase, like, you know, if I got charged for something or whatever, and I'm like, I'm not paying that, then I'll work with that. Like, you just have to report to the credit card company and then they'll fight it. Right. Otherwise, you are fighting with your bank and the company to get your money back.
Mm-hmm.
And the credit card company,
you ain't getting it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The credit card company has a much better leverage because they want to get paid. But if they know I'm not going to pay that thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I only ever use credit cards, and then I pay the balance every month for my checking account. And then also I like that I know that I'm never going to get my debit card information stolen. No one should be able to get access to my bank account, nothing like that.
Yeah.
If they get access to my credit card, I dispute it, get a new card.
Right. Right, and now I use Chime, which I love. I don't know, they've kind of spoiled me with...
Yeah, notifications every time.
I'm telling you right now, Chime is the worst when you have to get like a paper copy of statements and stuff for different things from my new job. I always happen to have people, they always have to go and sign in and print off, you know, such and such statement for this and that. And Chime, any of those, Chime, what's the other one?
Simple.
Venmo. Cash App, they're all horrible trying to get
getting your statements. Well, when you're on your phone, it's also difficult with any bank. And also, you have to think, a lot of banks don't have good apps either.
Right.
So
yeah, my bank app's awful.
They spend very little money on
those
apps.
Yeah, these big banks have like these dumb apps.
And
you're just like, well, I can't do anything. I have, my bank is through a rather large credit union, and I like being with them. But I'm telling you, their app is outdated. You can take, like, you can do the mobile deposit thing.
Yeah.
But I swear, every other time I try to do it, it messes up and it kicks me out of the app.
Well, and sometimes their apps will crash. And
yeah.
when your bank is an app, Like, right. There was a time with Chime where, like, their app had crashed for 2 days, and, like, you could not use your card. Like,
oh my God.
Nobody who had it could use their cards. Like, you couldn't even see what your balance was on the app. It would just say, sorry, there's an error, unexpected, you know, the little error message. So for 2 days, you're like, well, I'm screwed.
Yep, Josh had to bring up the box in the closet, which is what he calls his hoe money.
My hoe money.
All those ones.
I keep it wadded up in a sock.
You know what's funny? We're sitting here talking crap, but if they ever want to sponsor the show, this is like, this is the perfect example.
I love Chime. Yeah, and Chase.
I don't hate money. And then like you'll suddenly hear an ad being like, hi, this is Shane. I swear by this app. It is so easy to get your statements.
If I ever had to do an ad for
they've never
Chase
crashed
Bank,
at all.
I'd say it through gritted teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I just love them. They're willing to work with you so much.
They care about you.
You're not just a number. I'm so bitter.
Hey, I ain't above saying that I'll do anything for a couple dollars.
Hey, there is
anything
a price
but
amount.
Women. I do have a line in the sand.
Okay, so is today my mystery or your mystery?
It's mine.
Who knows?
Oh, yeah, I know. Are you going to give us any part of your mystery or what are you doing?
Well,
you
going to
take a break from crocheting?
Yeah, I think I will. I just, well, if I have to.
Well, won't you go ahead and put your blanket away?
While she's doing that, I have two cards.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm assuming they're birthday cards, but I don't know. This one's from, oh, it says C.O. Kim Morrow.
Oh, that's from me.
It's from Brew Baker. In Pennsylvania.
I'll read it for you, Kim.
Go ahead.
And this one's from Savannah.
They already opened it.
Savannah. I pre-cut them before the episode.
Oh, this is a nice little old postcard.
Ooh, that's cool. Is that Cincinnati?
This is the Fort Pitt Bridge in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I already said it was from Pennsylvania,
Kim. Yeah, Kim, weren't you listening?
She's listening.
I mean, Cincinnati has a bridge like that, too.
And Tabitha sent us this card, and she says, hey, gang, greetings from Pittsburgh. Looking forward to your next visit to the area. I love exploring cemeteries. I think you'll find the Tomb of Washington's lifeguard interesting. I'm not sure if I said that right, but I think that's what she said.
We're going to look that up.
Yeah. Night of the Living Dead Cemetery has some history as well.
Ooh.
I have a black Great Dane as well. Hey, Scoob.
Aww.
She even has that as her little.
And she puts a little PS.
Oh, that's cute.
So I didn't want my ink to smear, so I put this in an envelope. Keep on exploring mysteries.
That's a great idea. And it doesn't get all marked up.
Yeah, it doesn't get marked up and stuff.
Although,
that is really cool.
I will say that I do like
a stamp,
and I like a little, you know, a little scratch every once in a while.
Yeah.
It just shows it's been through the post.
Authentic.
Yeah.
We're getting so many.
Savannah. It's from South Carolina, and it's a Halloween card.
Oh, that's cute.
Ooh, that is really nice.
She has the Haunted Mansion stickers all over the front. Oh, I like that. A little cowboy hat stamp. I love stamps.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Halloween wishes fill the air all the way from here to there. Happy Halloween. The Mr. Ink Gang spooky season is upon us, so I thought I would send a card. I absolutely love listening to y'all. You guys make my workday and travel time to work so much better. I hope you'll do something fun for Halloween. I hope y'all got my email about the Murdaugh murders.
I did.
Thanks for the great podcast, Savannah. Such a cool...
Oh, that is really cute.
Yeah, if I remember right, Savannah told me that she either lived in that community or lived nearby at some point. Yeah.
Do you guys send crazy Halloween cards?
No.
I don't.
I sent one to my bestie. I should do that.
Any like holiday, I'm like, do they have cards for this? And they do.
Maybe next year we'll make some cards for our Patreons.
Oh, yeah.
For Halloween.
Send her a Thanksgiving card, too.
Now, I don't have a pen with me. Yeah, I do. So I'm going to write a note to myself to talk about something on the Unmasked episode. So, Kim, why don't you go ahead unless Josh has something else?
Nope.
Are you sure?
I'm free.
You heard it here, boys.
I'm wide open and ready to receive it, Kim.
Oh, dear Lord. All right. So I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about today. There was a case that happened here many, many years ago, and finally, they started the trial. So I'm talking about the Delphi murders.
Oh.
So I wanted to kind of talk about a few things that I learned that we didn't know because they were so secretive about the investigation and what they knew and that kind of stuff. So now we're starting to get a glimpse on different stuff that they found and that we know now.
Oh, good.
So I was watching every video I could last night until like 1:30 this morning to see what, everything I could find out.
Yeah, I haven't looked or heard anything since, they arrested that one guy and
Richard.
I really wish that it was filmed. I wish that you could watch the
really,
court.
Yes, I really wish it was.
We'll just get the little caricature pictures.
Right. So we're just going to do a real brief overview about the case, just in case you live under a rock and you don't know the case, or you live abroad because they might not know.
Sure. How many years has it been?
7.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it was a very warm February 13th in 2017. Two young girls, Abigail Williams, she was 13, and Liberty German, she was 12. They talked Libby's grandma into letting them go on a hike at the Monon High Bridge over Deer Creek. The girls were dropped off by Libby's older sister, Kelsey, on County Road 300 North, just east of the Hoosier Heartland Highway.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you here. I have met Kelsey many times, and she is so sweet. I just want to say that.
You've met her?
Yeah. So she's been to CrimeCon before.
How's it feel to not be invited, Kim?
Yeah, Kim. And she's also become very good friends with a mutual podcaster that I know. And
oh, dang. Now I want to know who it is.
You've met her. Her name is Cheryl. You've met her at CrimeCon. You just meet so many people. She's the CSI lady who works with Nancy Grace often.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah.
But her and Kelsey have become very good friends. And so I know her through that connection. Mm. But she's such a sweet girl. And I feel so bad for her that she had that experience, not only the loss of your sister and your sister's best friend, but also like the weight of just being the one that dropped them off. Like, I just can't fathom that.
Right.
But go ahead, Kim.
But of course, this is in a really small community. So most communities like that, they're not concerned about something like this happening.
It's like 30 minutes from here.
Yeah, it's not very far. No. I've never been there. We need to go I've never been there.
I've been.
There's a festival there I've seen.
Josh, why don't you and I go, and then we'll tell Kim about it in another episode.
You jerks. I don't need juice pour out. Okay, so the thing that, like I said, it was a small town. Nobody thought about that kind of stuff. The only thing that Libby's grandma was worried about is that they wore a jacket. The actual high that day was 64 in February, which is very unusually warm.
If it's below 70 Fahrenheit, a sweater I'm wearing tight.
But yeah, that was the only thing that she was concerned on, that make sure. And they had it off because it was a makeup snow day. So they didn't have any snow days that year. So they just took it off, to make up that time.
Nice.
So at 2:07, Libby posted a photo of Abby walking the bridge. After this, they were not heard from again. They were reported missing at 5:30 p.m. after they had failed to meet Libby's father at 3:15 p.m. So they were only supposed to be there for a certain time. Her sister dropped him off. Libby's dad was supposed to pick him up at 3:15. And when they didn't show, the families started searching themselves. Well, they searched for a little while. They couldn't find anything. So that's when they called the police at 5:30. So authorities did search quickly to the area. They did not immediately suspect foul play in the disappearance. Originally, they thought maybe one of the girls had fallen and gotten hurt and the other one didn't want to leave him. They didn't have any cell phone service, that type of thing. So they just thought that one of the girls would be hurt.
Which, if you go to the bridge, it is so high. It is the second highest trestle, which is a trestle is just like a bridge that was built for a train to go over. Mm-hmm. And there's no handrails. There's no nothing. I mean, I'm telling you what, when I got up to it, I was like, whew, I would not step foot on this sucker. And then, like, when you see pictures of it, you can kind of tell, but there
it's
is
just
like,
railroad ties.
It's railroad ties. Mm-hmm. And there's like this amount of space.
Oh, yeah.
In between everyone.
Easily for a foot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in
you
some
could
places.
Fall and break your leg real
and it's
quick
old.
In that.
So in some places, the wood is either unstable or it's somewhat. Rotted mm-hmm. and it's gone. Yeah. So some places you have to like step over. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, this is high.
Yeah, I did see that in one of the videos that you can't even get out on it anymore. They have it completely
yeah,
blocked off.
I good. Believe it. It was. I mean, when I got up to it, there were people on it, and I'm like,
mm-hmm. "That's wrong with you people."
And the thing is, I mean, it's so high. If you fall, you're dead. Like, there's no doubt. I mean, it's just it's that high up. It's, I couldn't believe it.
There's no way. I mean, I have a thing with heights anyway, and I know you do too.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have caught me dead on it to begin with.
Oh, no.
You know, I'm not, no, unless it has a solid bottom and handrails so that I ain't going to go over the side, I ain't getting on it.
Yeah.
And then I'll still be walking like right down in the center of everything, not looking either side and how far up I am to get across it.
Right.
There's no way. No
way. No, and in the photos that you'll see that they released that the girls took on the trestle of the man, they're actually standing on a little ledge. So, like, there are parts of it where I'm assuming at some point in time when the train went over it, it might have had, like, a little mechanism or something.
Yeah. Mm.
So, they're standing on a ledge off of it, and that ledge is not very big. I mean, I couldn't. Like, just looking at it makes me sick to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so it is a walking trail there, but the walking trail ends at the bridge. So you're not supposed
to
go over it. And I'm pretty sure there was a sign that said, don't go over this.
Oh, yeah, a sign. That's going
to. Yeah, and all the locals did. I mean, if you frequented it, then you would get used to it. And so you'd start crossing over it. So when they started releasing photos of the man walking across it, when I was there, I was like, okay, this guy has been here before. Otherwise,
that's
he would
exactly
not have been comfortable to walk across this.
They kept talking about how, you know, most people don't even know that it's there. The only people that knows where it is people that are local. So he had to have been there at some point.
Well, and I live 30 minutes away. I didn't know it was there. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Yeah. And if I did go there, I wouldn't even think twice that I would be allowed to step on that thing. I wouldn't think it's safe.
Well, I mean, predators put themselves in danger to, you know, catch their prey. I'm using these terms.
Yeah.
That's how I view not all killers. You know, sometimes it is self-defense or whatnot, but people like the person that killed these two girls, like, I just see it as like...
He was predatory.
A predator.
Yeah. He was.
Like,
bloodlust.
A monster,
Right. So they actually ended up calling off the search that night because it had gotten dark and they couldn't really see anything. They resumed it the next morning, which was Valentine's Day, February 14th. And at noon or thereabouts, they were found about a half a mile east of the abandoned Monon High Bridge. Now, within a couple of days, the police started circulating a still picture of a white male that was seen in the area. He was wearing jeans, a dark colored jacket. His hands were in his pocket, looking down across the trusses, so he was going over the bridge.
And that's another thing. He had his hands in his pocket walking over this
thing.
I know, right?
Or not like, you know, like having your hands out a little bit in case you start falling and to help you with your balance. Hands in pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
No.
So 2 days later, they did consider him the prime suspect. By the 22nd of February, police released an audio clip from Libby's phone. Now, how smart was that girl?
Yeah, I think when
to have the sense of flipping on her camera.
Well, they were both, at least the oldest one was already interested in true crime. Like they both wanted kind of envision that in their future. So,
that,
you know,
I didn't know. I
she
didn't
had, know. That makes complete sense to me because she's probably seen, you know, or her, I don't know, if podcasts were around 7 years ago that much.
Oh, yeah. They were.
But, you know, TV shows and stuff like, oh, this seems sketchy. Let me So, you know, yeah. I'm glad that she had that knowledge.
Pause. I had a podcast, a true crime podcast when that happened, Josh.
Well, 7 years, that seems like...
Eat my foot.
Yeah, but do you think a little, what, how old was she, 12-year-old girl was listening to it?
Was it?
I think the oldest one might have been 14 or something.
No, one was 13 and one was 12.
Yeah.
Okay. So the one that actually done the phone was the 12-year-old.
Okay.
Was the
but there are younger kids who listen to that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. When it happened, though, everyone wanted me to cover it. Everyone wanted me involved in it. And I'm thinking, look, this guy probably lives around here.
Right.
I don't want him.
Let someone
on my
in California
door.
Do it.
Yeah. And that's it. And then now we find out that the guy who they're charging lived in Peru.
Right next door to
that is
you moved closer door. To him.
Yeah. We're gonna get to that.
I sometimes get my hair cut in Peru. It's just right down the road.
So then by the 22nd of February, police released an audio clip from Libby's phone that said down the hill. Later they released another clip that they added guys. So it said guys down the hill. On July 17th, police distributed a composite sketch of someone sought as being the prime suspect in the murders. The sketch was created from eyewitness accounts of the hiker seen on that day. There was a few people, which we didn't know this until later, but there was more than one person that said that they had seen him. Police followed many leads, but no one was ever arrested. Almost 2 years later, another sketch was released. And I think it was so different than the first one. And I was like, how could there be that much of a difference, you know, in the first sketch compared to the second one? It really kind of threw me off when it was released. And I'm like, this looks nothing like the first
one. Yeah. When I saw the first sketch and I saw the video or the clip of the video, I thought, I don't know where the heck they're pulling this out of. And oftentimes, that will hurt the case, because if you think, oh, Joe Schmo could have been involved, if he doesn't look like that, they're not going to call the police.
Right. So, I can remember at the time, too, when both sketches were, everybody and their brother were like, oh, he looks just like this person. You better check this person out. He looks just like this
That's
person.
That's my ex-husband. I swear to God.
Nobody wore a black hoodie that whole year.
I know. Kim was calling them saying, it's my ex-husband. I swear to God. I swear to God.
His wife had something to do with it, too.
Okay, so there really wasn't, after that happened, there really wasn't a whole lot of stuff that was released for quite some time. And then we fast forward to October 26, 2022. So it's been almost 2 years ago. A suspect, Richard Allen, was taken into custody and appeared in court on October the 28th. On October 31st of 22, Indiana State Police announced that a suspect has been charged with two counts of murder in the case, and he had pled not guilty.
I didn't do it, I swear.
Right.
That's what they all say.
And I'll never forget when it happened, because we knew that somebody had been arrested, but we had to wait, and they even said that there was an upcoming announcement about the case, and then we had to wait 2 or 4 days before they actually said, we got him, he's arrested.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, at that point, we'd been waiting 5 years to find out what happened. And I mean, we had talked about the case numerous times, and I just wish that they would get closure for those families. They needed it so bad.
I remember the lead up a few days before the press announcement about it. And just even here in Wabash, there was like a building up mob, like just energy in the air, like,
oh yeah,
especially since it was the next town over, people like everywhere were talking about it.
And
I feel like they were just two steps away from grabbing their pitchforks and torches.
I mean, that was pretty much the consensus all around here, because I mean, it's such a small town that kind of stuff doesn't happen around here. And if it does, everybody wants to go after them, not just, you know, law enforcement or the family members or whatever. Everybody wants a piece of them.
Well, and on that topic, I have spoken to some people right after the thing happened who lived local in Delphi. And I mentioned, like, did the locals have a feeling like they might know anything? And what I constantly got told was, well, I'll tell you, if any of the locals felt like we knew who did it and we found out this was the person, they'd be taken care of, and no one would know about it.
The
and
cops like, wouldn't have needed to be called.
Right.
Yeah. I'm really surprised. I mean, I know every time they have him in custody or you see him, out going between places or whatever, they always have a vest on him so mm-hmm. Daisy would get shot or whatever.
Well, and also a little FYI to everyone out in podcast land. When he was, I don't know if he's still being held in the Wabash prison. Do you know that? The Wabash Valley prison?
I don't remember seeing anything.
Initially he was. And when he was put moved. There, he might have been. When he was put there, these people kept showing up here in Wabash.
Oh, yeah.
And downtown, and they'd be like, hey, where's the prison? And I'm like, oh, look, dude, that's further south. Yeah. It's along the Wabash River, which is why they call it
right. The
Wabash Valley prison.
I'm not real sure. For some reason, I was thinking that they moved him, but I don't.
Yeah,
I'm
they might have. Sure.
And I don't think I've seen anything about it.
Well, I actually think that they first held him in the Fort Wayne jail. But then I think that they moved him to the Wabash Valley.
There's several prisons around here. Jesus Christ. Jealous.
Yeah. We love locking people up and throwing away the key.
Like
you smoke a little marijuana, 50 years.
Driving through Indiana, like it feels like every major city, you're like, God, is that an airport? Why would they have?
Well,
no, that's a prison.
And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but even if you drive through small towns, you'll notice the two nicest buildings in the town. One, the courthouse
and the jail.
Two is the jail. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yep. We just got a new one here in
town. And it is the second nicest building next to the old, beautiful courthouse. It's like that in almost every little town I've been to. And if they have an old, broken down jail, they're in the works of trying to build a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
On November the 29th, 22, the judge in the case, Francis Gall, issued an order to unseal the probable cause affidavit that led to the suspect's arrest. According to the redacted document, video footage recovered from Libby's phone showed one of the victims mentioning a gun as the man walking in the dark jacket and jeans approached behind him that said, you know, go down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators also found a .40 caliber unspent round between the girls. So it was just a bullet that hadn't been fired. And it determined that they did find a gun in his possession that matched the bullet. So that was another reason why he was.
Hold on a second. How would they be able to match that if it wasn't spent?
It was this.
The same type.
It was the same type.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because normally when they do
ballistics and stuff on it.
But that wouldn't matter.
That's going to be important here in just a second.
Okay.
It's an unspent round.
Right.
Okay. So, and they found a gun that it would fit with.
Okay.
And
the kind of gun that took it.
Right.
Yeah.
So originally they postponed the trial to try to get the defense all up. I was so pissed off for so long.
Why?
Because they
not you can
they drug their yeah, feet so they've had him for 2 years. Mm-hmm. They should have already had him tried.
Well, the thing is first of all, our court system is slow, and that's just a part of it. Also,
they fought and fought over different things.
And that's the thing, like, you're going to go back and forth between the two attorneys to figure out venue. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff, like,
well,
making
sure
where they're going to get their jurors
one shot them. At it, so you want to make sure you have as much evidence,
right?
You know, because if he gets found not guilty, you can't try him again.
Just,
right.
I mean, because it's such a high-profile case, I think what aggravated me the most about it is you would see things on the news all the time about, oh, they're fighting about this now. Now they're fighting about that. If they had let it go and waited until they were ready to start doing it, then everybody would have been like, okay, now let's get it done. But they kind of teased you that, oh, we got to get this done before we can do it. And we got to get this done before we can do it.
Yeah, but in the same aspect, our Constitution makes sure that we have proper defense. Yeah. And so it gives the defense a proper time to go through all the evidence and then come up with a defense, which, you know, in this case, maybe he is guilty. We'll find out what all evidence they have.
Mm-hmm.
But in many trials, people are innocent. And that time is important because that allows the defense to go through all the evidence and try to come up with the best argument.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to think, like, they have to go through and try to find experts to testify on different things. And then they go through this whole process of trying to profile every juror. Most of the time they'll do this. But they'll go through this whole process of trying to profile the jurors and trying to see, like, what type of experts will fit better with this audience.
Their schedules.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a long process.
They wanted to get it moved because it was in such a small town that they didn't think that they could get a juror or jurors that were biased. And, you know,
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. And
no matter where they go, though, they're going to get people who know about
it. Right. I mean, yeah, because it was such a high profile case.
Right.
So, of course, it actually started a little over a week ago. So there's 8 women and 4 men in the jurors. They're from Allen County, which is
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne. Yeah. And they're bused to Carroll County, which is 2 hours away, mm-hmm. which is Delphi.
So they're just split in half? Is that how it works?
What do you mean?
So is half of them from Allen County, the other half?
No, they're all from Allen County.
Oh, I got you. They're, just, they're bused
they
there.
They bust them all there. Yeah. Okay.
Jesus. And,
yeah. I, that's a long way to go to be a juror.
Staying you in know, a motel.
I, can you imagine like being one of the jurors that have to be called to this and like...
I wish. I wish it was televised. They would kick me Judge out. Judy was...
the right. presiding yes. over it.
They would kick me out. Like, I wouldn't... like, I've never been called for jury duty. I have been once, but I got out of it because I couldn't... I was out of town or something. So it was many years ago. But... I think that if I went to the jury thing where they, you know, filter through people, I think they'd kick me out real quick just because I've been a crime podcaster for so long.
Yeah.
I think they'd be like, no.
No.
I'd lie and do everything I could to get on that jury.
Well, you have to you have to remember.
Not like, you know, anything crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like I do nothing.
Like, yeah, I can be indifferent.
Yeah. No, I'm not biased against straight white men. I love them.
I love straight white men.
They haven't murdered more people than anyone in history.
So they have some very strict rules for the media. They're only allowed to have 12 media representatives in the courtroom. So they have like a pool that they pull tickets from.
Oh, that's good. So it's not just
crowded.
The way that it sounded to me, they didn't come out and say it that way, but they do it twice a day. So they do it for the morning session and they do it for the afternoon session. Because I was watching, a lot of the ones that I was watching was our Channel 13 in Indianapolis. They were doing a wrap-up summary thing every night on it. And one of them would be in there in the morning and the other one would be there in the evening. So it must change between the morning and the evening on who's in there.
Y'all want to go stay in a hotel in Delphi this weekend?
Josh, they probably only have one hotel, if any, and I'm sure it's full.
Absolutely no photos or video of any kind. They cannot take photos of the buses bringing the jurors in. They cannot take photos or video of Richard Allen coming into the courtroom. They cannot take anything.
Just sketches.
They get a notepad. Yeah.
Yes, they can do sketches, but that's it.
I hate that. I think every court case should be televised because there are times when these courts get it wrong. And I think that that is a perfect way to not only judge the prosecution, but also the judge.
Right.
Like we're voting for
right.
these
we're
people.
Voting for them. Right.
And
that's exactly
I want
right.
to see how they're performing. And mm-hmm. if I don't agree with it, bye.
Yeah, I'm not
we had to watch a
again.
Week of
yeah.
freaking Johnny Depp talking about his right. wife shitting on the bed. We can't see this.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's stupid to me.
So I thought this was this judge is not joking about this at all. On the very first day of the trial, when they were actual first day, there was 4 news stations that was out videoing as the buses was coming in.
Oh.
They got completely banned. They're not allowed in the building at all.
Oh, but, wow.
Yeah, the judge is not playing.
You're out of the pool.
I mean, you have to, with such a high profile case, you have to protect the jurors.
Yeah. Well, also, the judge will want to not have a mistrial. And if you have stuff like that happening, mm-hmm. that can be people attacking jurors or like threatening them and that
right.
can come
right.
out and then mm-hmm. there would be a mistrial and then they have to go through this whole process again. And it's not cheap. So right. they want the judge's job literally is to make sure there is a fair trial. Mm-hmm.
So you know how any time that we would see him in his orange jumpsuit or whatever, he looked like this frail old mm-hmm. man. He was always all hunched over and he just looked like
innocent.
Yeah. He just looked like, oh, I'm so sick or
like a
whatever.
Dog with his tail between his legs.
Well, according to the Channel 13 news, they said that he does not look anything like this. That, of course, he's not in his prison mm-hmm. stuff. He's in normal, you know, dress up clothes, but he does not act frail. He acts strong. He's cognitive. He can, you know, think and talk, and he's actually talking to his lawyers back and forth during, you know, different testimony and that type of thing. So he's actually being a part of it. And all of those things that we would see in the news before made it look like he was just basically a zombie.
Yeah,
and right. Wasn't there at all.
Yeah, he looks like he has dementia.
Right, he just blank, nothing.
Same shit Harvey Weinstein did as soon as he got busted. Oh no, look, I suddenly have to use a walker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ooh. Same thing with that stupid guy, the East Area Rapist, I think he was once called, you know.
That, yeah.
Like, when he got caught and every time he'd go, like, he just crumbling over.
Reminds
I'm like,
me
dude, we know your crimes. Quit that shit.
Reminds me of someone we know when every time they answer the phone.
Oh, like, I know.
I did actually see a couple sketches that people, you know, artists had done in the courtroom, too. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool to see. Now, one of the big things that, of course, we know that, you know, they got stuff off of Libby's phone.
Right.
Originally, it was, you know, just down the hill, and then it went to guys down the hill. Well, we found out that it's actually like 43 seconds long.
The audio is what you're talking about?
Yeah, the audio and video
is
actually 43 seconds long. There, before I get to that they did come up with a timeline because of her phone for extracting things off the phone. So at 1:43 p.m., there was a Snapchat post of a selfie of Abby and Libby in the car as they were going there. And then at 2:05, there was a Snapchat post of a picture of the Monon Bridge. At 2:07, there was a Snapchat picture of Abby on the bridge. And in that one, I think that might have been the one. No, that's the next one. Then at 2:13, Libby records a 43-second video with Abby on the bridge with someone behind her. 2:14, the phone locks, and it just really blows my mind. They keep doing, as technology advances, they continue to, because at first they couldn't get anything that much off of that phone. But as technology goes on, they're able to re-extract things off of that phone because they still have that phone. And so they keep learning more and more as the technology gets better. At 2:14, the phone locks. At 2:14 and 31 seconds, Libby tries to unlock it, but she didn't get it unlocked. And then at 2:39, the phone stops moving after a 20-foot elevation change, which floors me. How do they know this from a phone?
Right.
You know, that is so weird to me.
These damn things are specific. Jesus. Right.
Well, it's very common now with modern phones, you know. I mean, my phone will tell me my elevation, but I didn't know that back then those phones could do that.
You've gone up a flight of stairs.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to think, like, our phones now are made to help you, you know, track health things. And
yeah,
so,
and that was a lot of it, too, was the health thing that was on the phone is how they keep getting
that makes sense.
A lot of the information from it.
Yeah.
Now, think about that for a second, because they were dropped off at, 1:45 or whatever. By 2:39, not even an hour, the phone stopped. And it didn't move after that. And then at 4:06, Libby's grandma did text her, "You need to call me now." Because by then, they had missed the time that they were supposed to meet the dad at 3:15.
Right.
So they were starting to panic on where the girls were.
Did they figure out how her phone stopped recording? Or did they say, have they said that?
No,
yet?
I don't think they said.
Maybe the phone died or something?
No, I have that. I have that those times. Well, there, it went into power saving mode about 10 o'clock that night.
Oh, okay. So and then it
actually,
up.
Yeah, it was powered up. And then it actually died at 4:30 in the morning.
I got you.
Yeah. So after Alan was arrested, they analyzed 27 devices that they took from him, his home, which was old phones, old computers, you know, all kinds of old things. They never found anything on those, but they did not have the phone that he had at the time it happened. They could not find that phone.
How convenient.
Right. So
have all your phones before and after, but the one you were using.
It fell.
Yeah, it broke and I threw it in the trash.
Yeah, we found out that there was a witness that said that she seen a muddy and bloody man walking down the road.
You didn't say nothing?
No, she did. Nothing? I think she did report that. They just didn't release it.
Excuse me, why are you doing?
Right.
Did she report it?
I thought that she had reported it to the police. Maybe she didn't.
I don't think she did.
But I don't think they they didn't share a lot of information.
No, I take it back. She did report it because she was interviewed three times.
I got you.
The first time she said that he was muddy because this was brought up in court. The first interview, she said that he was muddy like 12 or 13 times through the interview. The second interview, she said that he was muddy for 12 or 13 times through the interview. The third interview, she said he was bloody and did not say anything about being muddy.
Mm.
So they really hammered her on the witness stand that if her recollection was right, because she changed her story.
Mm. I would have driven past them and been like, I called the cops.
Right. Mm-hmm. What'd she say?
What
was her defense about how she changed her story?
She said she doesn't remember changing it, that she had always said that he was muddy and bloody.
I got
But you. They did have her read the transcript from when she done the interviews, and she just doesn't remember.
Sure.
And, of course, they asked her, if you seen somebody that was muddy and bloody, why did you not stop and, you know, see if they needed help? And she's like, I'm a single woman.
None of my business.
Out in the country, no. I'm not stopping, I wouldn't have either.
No, I would call the police.
That's exactly what I would have done.
That's it. Yeah. I'm not stopping for nobody.
Just crack the window. Right. Cops are on their way. I hope you're okay.
Yeah,
which makes me wonder if there was blood. So if there was not blood on him, I'm not even sure that I would have called the cops. If he was just muddy, I would have thought he'd been down fishing
somewhere.
If he's
not waiting for help or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought maybe he'd have just fell in the mud or went. Who knows?
Not
my
business.
You can get muddy real easy. You know,
that's how you survive in this world.
Right, but if he was bloody, that's a different story.
Yeah,
you know. So,
but she did call the police.
She did.
So that would make sense if she's also bloody.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, if he's just muddy, I wouldn't call the police.
Right. But it makes you wonder too why she didn't say that in the first two interviews that he was also bloody. All she said was he was muddy.
Maybe she was shaken up.
It could have been.
Yeah. Of what happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely could have been.
I mean, couldn't tell you.
Okay. Okay, so far they've showed 117 crime scene photos. They did actually show these to the families 2 days before. They showed them in court to try to desensitize them a little bit because they didn't want them to have such a shock, number one, and have such a reaction that it's going to catch the attention of the jurors.
Uh-huh.
So they showed it to them ahead of time. And I can't even imagine. It makes me want to cry, and I didn't see him, you know, which this is a bad time of the year for me anyway. But when they were talking about it, I sit and cried just because those poor girls.
Mm-hmm.
So we do know that both girls had their throats cut. We know that one of them was nude. The other one was dressed, but it was in the clothes of the one that was nude. He discarded the other girl's clothes, which they found in a tree.
Oh,
so he tried to...
like throw it?
Throw them up in the tree, maybe, so that nobody could see them, which they weren't... I don't think they were exactly the same area that they found the bodies, either. Now, of course, we do know that the...
or maybe he was going to come back for them at some point in time.
That could have been. That could have been. Now, the video, like I said, was 43 seconds long. It was completely shown in court in its entirety. Libby was the one who took it. It was pointed down to the bridge, so you couldn't see a whole lot. There was a couple frames that you could see him on it. You hear Abby say, is he right here? Then she says, don't leave me up here. And then you see the image of the man walking behind her. Then you hear Libby said, that be a gun. And there's no path there. The man says, guys, the girls say hi, and he says, down the hill. So that's what the whole video is.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. We also found out that there's over 60 recordings of Alan confessing to different people that he killed the girls. He told somebody while he was in jail that he did it with a box cutter. He's told over the phone, told his wife numerous times. He's told different people in jail. He wrote a letter to the warden saying that he wanted to confess and he wanted to talk to the girls' parents and tell them that he was sorry.
No, you don't have that right anymore.
Right. I agree with that. Now, 3 days after the murders, this really floors me. When I found this out, I was like, are you freaking kidding me? 3 days after the murder, Richard Allen called the tip line and told the police that he was there the day of the murders. They'd done an interview with him. He said he had told them that he was there between 1:30 and 3:30. Right? That should have been the first from the police. He said that he saw three girls walking, which there was not three girls working there. There were also a couple of teenagers that was walking, too. They were part of the eyewitnesses.
Well, he's probably just adding someone.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
For suspicion.
Yeah. He said he was focused on his phone while he was there, something about the stock market or whatever. And I'm like, whatever.
You wouldn't have good cell phone service.
No.
No.
I'd be looking at stock market.
The interviewing officer said that there was nothing unusual about Allen. And on the folder, they wrote cleared on it. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of it.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't until 22 that a file clerk, or I can't remember who she was, found a box that wasn't with the rest of the inventory and found that folder that said that. That's when they started looking at him a little more closely. But that was 5 years after the fact. You know, they should have had him 3 days.
No kidding.
They could have. They could have had him.
Yeah, I would be grilling someone even more if he places himself there.
Exactly. At the same times that the girls were there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of times these predators like that, they want to be more involved in the case. And so they'll go back and they'll, you know, help search, begin the search party.
Right.
And so it doesn't surprise me that he would put himself
there. We also find out that he worked at CVS as a pharmacy tech. He actually would, he also worked in the photo part of it. He developed pictures for them. He knew them. He didn't charge them for photos.
Probably getting duplicates.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Predators are like,
I have
stupid.
No doubt in my mind that he stalked them and was watching. That's how he had to have to know that that's where, you know, that they were going to be there alone.
Yeah.
Especially on a day where they should have been at school.
Right.
Right.
Just think, if it had only snowed that year during a school day, none of this would have ever happened.
Right.
Just crazy stuff like that, with how the universe works.
Yeah. But
intriguing.
In the same aspect, though, if he was stalking them and that's what he wanted to do,
right,
which is done at a different day.
Eventually.
Now, when they did finally get a search warrant for his house and they went to go search his house, during the search warrant, he was, it was October of 22.
Was this in Peru?
Wherever it was he was living.
He's lived in Peru and Mexico. Mexico is just two different countries.
These are both towns in Indiana. People.
They're right next to each other. It's the same community. Mexico's just a little smaller than Peru, but it's just right down the road from it.
So when they went to the house, the police officer told him, you know, during the search, if anything was damaged or whatever, he could fill out a form to get things fixed after that. Allen said to him, quote, "It doesn't matter. It's over." Then while during the search, Allen was sitting in the police car. He was described as quiet. He got out a couple times to smoke. Allen asked the officer if his wife has been detained. The officer said, no, she's at work, and offered to take him to her work. Allen again said, it doesn't matter. It's over. That's a little odd, don't you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't be saying those type of things.
Yeah, a little odd.
I also wouldn't be confessing to my wife or writing letters
to the warden.
Confessing if I didn't do it. Like, you know, there have been times when people are interviewed by police and then they feel pressured and they will confess and it's a false confession.
Right.
Completely.
Right. Yeah. But 60
but never,
times.
Yeah. Never would I tell my wife or write a letter. Or, I mean, okay, maybe I'll even believe you'll lie and just try to like make your roommate at the jail think you're scary or whatever it is.
Right.
But the wife and the letter to the warden, I can't come back from that.
Yeah, I don't.
What does wife do?
I don't know.
I think, didn't she divorce him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I believe that they've been divorced and they have a child.
Well, I'm like, as soon as you confess murder to me, I don't think it's going to work out.
Bye.
I'm going to just go visit my mom fast. I'll be right back. Come on, kids.
Now, during the search, they took 25 guns and knives. Who needs that many guns?
Yeah, this is America.
Yeah.
God bless.
A blue Carhartt jacket, which, remember, this was 5 years after the original, so it definitely could not have, you know, it might not have been the jacket that was seen in the video.
I'm sure he threw away his clothes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or burnt them.
Yeah.
So this is the interesting part. Remember about the bullet that they found.
Mm-hmm.
They opened a wooden box on his nightstand. It was full of little mementos, a card that somebody had given him, you know, different little bitty things. And they found a bullet exactly like the one they found between the two girls.
And I wonder if those are like serial numbered. So they're able to like figure out, well, this is, you know, this one came right after this one. And if they're not,
I don't think they are.
They should be putting little serial numbers on those suckers.
I know they have a number on them, but I don't know what that number is either. For. I don't know if it's maybe the caliber that it is or whatever.
It probably, yeah. But when they do like typically ballistics, they're looking at spent ones. And then they like basically the same way that we look at fingerprints. There's going to be a certain track on the bullet. Yeah. And that's how they link it back to a gun.
Yeah. So they found the bullet. And then underneath it, they also had found a spent cartridge.
Mm.
So.
Were any of the girls either one shot?
No, neither one of them were shot. They were both neck slit. That was it. They were not shot. They also found a photo album with pictures of Alan in it throughout the years. And there was also a picture of the Monon Bridge in there.
Mm.
So now we're on the seventh day of the trial. The focus was on the bullets and the cartridge that was found there with the girls. The prosecution showed photos of markings. And when you put them together, they completely matched up. So it had to have been from that gun, the spent one. Which doesn't make any sense on why, you know, if they weren't shot, why did he, unless it was just to scare them, which...
For the confessions, are they allowing any of those?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Now, the trial is ongoing. They still have to talk about the over 60 recorded confessions from Alan. It's going to be interesting to see if you read transcripts on those or if they let you actually hear it, because you might be able to identify his voice from the 43-second video on these. So it's going to be real interesting to see if they, you know, just let you read the transcripts or they actually let you listen to the recordings.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I don't know how accurate that will be just because...
I mean, it was enhanced and...
Yeah, voices, so you can change your voice. If he's going up there and he's like, oh, I'm going to be a big predator, he might have a really deep voice.
On the 43-second video, you can't... It's just the video, you can just barely hear him say that.
Mm.
So they had to enhance it a lot to even be able to get it audible enough that you could really hear it. So, I mean, it's true. He might not sound anything, but
it'd be difficult.
That's all I have on the trial.
Sweet. So they will allow.
They are going to allow it, yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard to come back from that. Plus, what I've heard, at least, is that he admits fully and will during the trial that he was there when it happened.
They keep saying that he's not going to go on. They're not going to put him on the stand.
I doubt that he will. I doubt he'll go on the stand, but that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
But
I feel like it would just be a pick me type, you know, that here's, you know, attention.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is... why I don't think he should ever be allowed to see her parents because he's not wanting to ask for forgiveness for them by any means.
He pled not guilty.
Right.
Which means go F yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that would just cause the parents more trauma, but I feel like it would be only for his benefit,
you know,
to relieve his conscience, and which he deserves none of. Right.
That might be another reason why he did plead not guilty, because now he knows this whole trial is, he's going to be able to relive this whole thing. He's going to see the pictures of what he did, the videos,
it's
the
like
audio.
The high school jock retelling his football story. To him, it's not this horrendous monstrosity of an event that happened. To him, it's, oh, this is, you know, the greatest thing I've done in my life.
Right.
Which I hate to use that phrasing because nothing about it was great, but there are just people out there who shit like this.
Yeah.
It's the highlight of their life, and that's horrendous.
Right. I'm not going to leave our friends hanging because I'm going to stick with this until it's done.
I had no idea the court
It's supposed to be a 4 or 5 week trial.
Probably.
So I'm sure, I'm hoping that it'll be done by the next time we do my ministry the next time. So it'll be the conclusion of it to, you know, go finish going over all of those, you know, all those confessions and whatever else. And of course, this is just the prosecution side. The defense hasn't even started yet. Right. So
it's going to be interesting. The web they can weave.
Yeah, see what they can do. And
what information are you going to have on Unmasked?
I don't have anything for Unmasked.
Oh my God.
So I actually, what I did for Unmasked is I have a whole page. She's
going to sing us a song.
No, I've done leaving. A couple. So I got a couple of Rutro Raggies because last time I did the crazy law thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a couple Rutro Raggies for the normal episode. Then I have a few for that mask.
Okay. So. And I have some information on a mask too, just of things that I've heard and questions and stuff like that I think would be an interesting conversation.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Rutro Raggy.
Rutro.
Isn't the worst possible time to faint in the middle of a bank robbery?
I hate it. That's
my self-defense mechanism.
That's what happened in Beaver Creek, Ohio, at a bank. The teller called 911 and asked for medics, but you have to applaud the man's stick to his guns. While he was in the ambulance en route to the hospital, the suspect handed the note to the teller demanding all of her cash.
Maybe he's having a panic attack.
No kidding. Or my his God. Sugar was low.
Right.
All of a sudden, he's like, oh, dang, I forgot to eat today.
Let's pass out, but I'm still going to give you this.
Just take one. Are these suckers free? just take them off.
Now, if that was a Chase bank, I don't feel sorry for them. No. They should have just given him that money. He probably overdrafted on a sweet team.
Right.
His fees back.
They're lucky I didn't go in and
work. Right.
For a trio of drug thieves, it was their lucky day. They broke into a home in Silver Springs, Florida, and discovered 3 jars of cocaine.
Oh, my heavens.
They took it home and snorted the contents.
That's my flower.
That's when they discovered that the jars were, in fact, urns. And they were snorting the cremains of the victim's husband and
Idiots.
2 dogs.
Oh, my God.
They didn't wonder what these chunks of bone and stuff
exactly.
in there
Isn't that crazy?
Oh. It must have been too drunk or high or something.
I had that same. So I was, like I said, I'd been watching stuff all night, taking notes and all of that stuff, really. So I kept falling asleep. So I woke up at 1:30 in the morning and was looking for those. And when I read that one, I was like, oh my God. And then I was wide awake and I'm like, yeah, that one's got to go.
Didn't they wonder, like, this don't taste like aspirin on the back of my throat?
At first, I thought, did I read that right? Because I was still groggy, you know, from just waking up. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I follow this one lady on TikTok or one of the socials, Lauren the Mortician. Mm. Have you guys seen her?
Mm-hmm. I've seen
her. She's a mortician. She it's her family's business, so she's been in it her whole life. And I didn't know that they had to grind up people after they're cremated. You know, you're ashes, so you're like, oh, no, they just scoop you like the litter box, like just get the chunks out. But no, they got to like grind up your bones and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when my ex's aunt passed, they ordered a whole bunch of those little urn necklaces. Mm-hmm. And then you get the box of ashes in the mail, which I think is so weird that they can mail bodies or ashes of them. And then you got to, it comes with a little funnel
I used to have
put the ashes in and you're like, oh, there's chunks of stuff you got to like.
Yeah. The girls that I used to work with in hell, all of us that have lost children for, I can't remember, it was Amber's Angel Day or for her birthday, they had bought me one of those necklaces. And I mean, of course, Amber wasn't cremated, but they said I could go to the cemetery and just put a couple little things of dirt in it from the cemetery. But for some reason,
witchcraft.
I know, right? For some reason, it would come unscrewed, and I actually ended up losing it, and I was so mad because it was a necklace, but because I had a necklace anyway, I put it on my keys as a keychain.
Okay,
and I lost it once, and then I found it, and then I lost it again, and never did.
Right,
Jesus, super glue that shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
all right.
Is that it?
So, yep, that's it. Make sure you join us on Patreon. We're trying to get to 15. I think we're still at 2, right?
I don't know. I'm assuming you're keeping track.
I'm not keeping track.
I think you are.
I need to go back and look again, but I'm pretty sure we're still at 2.
But we should also mention, and Kim, you may not know this, because I think Josh and I might have been the only ones that talked about it, but maybe you did.
How's it feel?
I did put it in the group chat, but our videos now are only available on Patreon. So they're not on YouTube. They're just on Patreon.
I knew you'd said something about it, but I didn't know that was the final decision.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Kim, we made that final decision before.
I've learned if Shane mentions something, it's just gonna,
He's probably already done it.
He's doing it as he's telling you.
So if you want to watch.
Be okay
if, right. if you want to watch, I'm sorry, you're going to have to join Patreon.
Yeah, just Patreon.
And remember, we get 15 new ones. Josh is going to make me up in drag as Shane's telling a mystery. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
And we've sold a couple shirts.
Yep.
And soon we're going to have to redo our cups for VIP Patreons.
Yep. And put the new ones on.
And, with a new logo. Maybe we'll do a little fun design. I don't know. We might change it up a little bit, be a little fresh.
And don't forget to follow us on all the social medias, and come visit it at itsmystery.com. You'll find all of our merchandise and photos and background information on Shane and Josh, because I don't think I'm on there yet. Still.
On what?
I mean, I have a picture on there, but I don't think I have background. Did you put a background thing on?
I didn't, but you could.
If you send $500 to us, I'll send you a nude picture. Any position you like.
See, this is why I have all the ideas, Kim, because I know how to do them.
Yeah, I'll see. I don't know.
If you want your background on the website, you put it on there.
Unless you've showed me how to do something.
Bullshit. I could show you 5 times, and then the next time she does it,
if it's something that I don't do all the time. It ain't as easy
as changing your Facebook background.
Right. No, because she's got that down.
Hey, I had to put Amber's picture up, Tomorrow's not going to be a fun day.
And you put up a picture of your socks, picture of your dog, everything.
I change mine for the holidays. I decorate my profile.
Mine's been the same for a couple of years, I believe.
On Pokemon Go, I dress according to whatever holiday or season it is.
Not surprised. All right. Well, we will see you guys on Unmasked for a little sweet treat. And that's where we'll be. Come join us.
Oh, yeah. Before we go, I do have a little humor.
Oh, good.
Let me go look it up. It's not very long, but I saved it weeks ago. Kim, would you rather eat a baby goat or a matter baby?
I know what I'm probably supposed to say.
What's a matter, baby?
That's nothing, darling. What's the matter with you?
Yeah. I knew. I was trying to think in my mind, where's he coming with this? And I knew it was something.
And I also, Kim, they said you sounded like an owl.
I'm not going to say it.
You stupid bitch.
Because I hate you.
Josh has been saving this for weeks,
Kim.
I have had
it saved.
Joke's on you, Kim.
All righty, well, always remember, everybody, I'm not a waitress, but I'll take the tip.
There you go.
Talk at you next time.
Heard it here. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Are you interested in the paranormal and the supernatural? My name is Daniel, and I am the host of Chilling True Tales. I've realized that we all share our reality with beings we don't understand, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what isn't. That shadow that's standing in the corner watching you, that voice you hear call your name, that strange light in the sky that disappears when you point it out, are they actually there? I have been interested in the paranormal since I was a child, having had my own fair share of experiences. And other people have shared their first-hand experiences with me over the years as well, maybe looking for answers. I started SOS Paranormal to record, investigate, and share this area of interest so that all of you can experience this too. So please join me at Chilling True Tales, for real experiences from real people. Now, are you ready?
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.